As you know, we are in the month, or we're about to be in the month, Thursday and Friday. If you were here earlier, you heard this, of Kislev, which is the month of Hanukkah. And I'm going to come to Hanukkah in a minute, but I want to start with Pesach. In the Haggadah, you have, as you know, the four children, and one of them is the wicked son. What you may not know is that in many Haggadot, in the Middle Ages and in modern times, when you look at the picture of the wicked son, it's a soldier. Because for Jews, the soldier represented the threat. It didn't only represent the threat that soldiers would come and injure or kill Jews. It was the Jewish son who was a soldier, who was wicked in the Haggadah. Because in Russia especially, Jewish children would be taken when they were young and brought into the army for 20, 25 years. And when they came back home, if they ever came back home, they were Russian and not Jewish, alienated from their tradition and their families, with no sense of who it was to be a Jew in that world. And anyone who went voluntarily to the army from the Jewish world was considered a Russian, a wicked son. Jews began considering soldiers wicked when Jewish soldiers failed. That is, in ancient times, when Jews revolted against the Romans, and there were Jewish soldiers, and they lost the war, Jews decided that fighting would never enable us to get what we wanted, and we had to rely on God. And so the idea that Jews would themselves voluntarily pick up arms to fight disappeared from the Jewish world until the beginning of the modern movement of Zionism, when Jews began to realize that Jews had to fight again, and that to be a Jewish soldier could be a noble thing if you were fighting for a Jewish cause. And they looked back then to examples like the Maccabees, to Hanukkah and not to Pesach, to when Jews fought for their own liberation, not when God gave liberation to the Jews, but when Jews fought it and succeeded in getting liberation for themselves as the example and the model of what Zionism had to be. And so Jewish soldiers began to change their image from something that we should be ashamed of and was wicked to something that we should be proud of and was noble. Yesterday, right here, soldiers from the IDF, from the Israel Defense Forces, visited our classrooms. And these 18, 19, 20-year-old soldiers talked to our 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, and the children saw them as heroes, not as wicked. Saw them as brave and not as bad. And you feel the extent to which, in the modern world, the United States and Israel has enabled the idea of a Jew who is a soldier to be a symbol of something courageous and heroic and admirable, and not something shameful and wicked. That's an unbelievable transformation in Jewish history. Would not have been conceivable to our ancestors, who only knew Jewish soldiers as soldiers pressed into the cause of a country that they could not love. But here in this room this morning, we have people who fought for the United States in a war that can only be described as a war of liberation of the world. When enemies of the world and therefore enemies of the Jewish people sought to enslave us. And so we have come to recognize that the ability to fight evil is part of the essential and indispensable characteristic if you are good. And that Burke was right when he said, very memorably, hundreds of years ago, as an Irishman serving in England, that the only thing that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. And so again and again in the modern world, Jews have taken up arms to defend what they know to be good, to be righteous, to be holy. Our greatest examples are soldiers who fought and died in Israel. But we have examples of soldiers who fought and died in the United States as well. All of them fought ultimately for the same thing, which is that Jews and others should be able to live in freedom and in peace. You know that this past week we marked the 20th anniversary of the assassination of one of the greatest of modern Jewish soldiers, Yitzhak Rabin. And you may remember that at the rally at which he was killed, the rally was ending with Shir Shel Shalom, a song of peace. Because that is the strength and the paradox of every great soldier, that they fight wars so that they can make peace, and that they practice the skills that are necessary to win in the hope that one day there will be no winning and no losing. Our deepest prayer in our tradition is for peace. It is part of what God's legacy is supposed to be to us. Hu ya'aseh shalom aleinu, that God will make peace for all of us, v'al kol Yisrael, v'al kol Yoshvei Tevel, for all of Israel and all the world, because we have this deep mystical belief that somehow, if there is peace in Israel, then it will spread throughout the world. So on this day of peace, of Shabbat, we remember, honor, and praise those who make war in order that there will be no more war, who take up guns in the hope that no one will have to take up guns anymore, who fight in the prayer that fighting one day will cease, who understand that milchama, that all war, all just war, all holy war, is aimed at shalom, at the sanctity and the permanence of peace. Amen.